This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
We all know the feeling. You put a lot of effort into preparing for that dinner. The guests arrive, you know, dinner's such a success, everyone loves it. You feel all of a sudden exhausted. You know, you stretch, you yawn, try and give the hint that you just want to go to bed, you want the guests to leave, but they don't. What do you do?
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Good afternoon, Lauren Rosewarne.
Hello, Warren. Thanks for having me.
Have you had that scenario happen to you?
Normally, I'm the person who wants to have an excuse to leave. I think you and I relate to this in terms of being a little bit fatigued by too much social interaction.
Yes.
So I'll be the one looking for an excuse to go. You're never going to have to throw me out of your house. Rest assured, oh. I will never go to a party and be the last person to leave.
You're going
to
be the first on all my dinner invites.
If I go at all, it'll be absolutely where's Lauren? Oh, she must have left about 3 hours ago.
You know what I do if I'm holding, I mean, I don't hold them that often, but if I do hold one, I'm very open and I just dim the lights. I say, this store is closing in 15 minutes. Please finish your desserts and make your way to the front door.
Well, this is actually what etiquette people suggest to do. I mean, there's a number of ways you can tackle it. One is have a finishing time when you issue the invitation. So that gives people an idea that this is a soiree running between 7 and 10, and therefore you can kind of have a half hour grace period for people to leave. But then if they don't take the hint, there is the technique you've suggested, which is the, you know, basically calling last drinks, dimming the lights, changing the music to something more sort of soothing and time to
Christmas,
leave.
A few Christmas carols.
Yeah, or you could do what my dad's uncle used to do, and he just got the broom out and started sweeping. And because he was a milkman and had to get up at crazy o'clock, so he couldn't have people linger, so just got the broom out and started to give people the hint that way.
What did Martha Stewart recently suggest?
Hers was just that I'm going home. I thought she might have this amazing etiquette answer to... Ooh. Sorry, I'm going to bed. Sorry. I thought she'd have this amazing etiquette answer, but it was just, no, I'm going to bed.
But isn't that good, just to be honest?
It feels like you must have tried a lot of things before getting to that stage, though, because then what happens if they're still there in the morning? Like, there's... I feel that... What friends are these that really don't take the hint?
Well, I feel like I'm quite tuned into someone's energy. As soon as I note that they're fading, I always make a move to leave. So, come on, you know, I think I'll go now or what have you.
Yeah.
And I need to get up early in the morning. It's just an awareness. But some people don't have that awareness, do they, of what's going on with others around them?
Or they're wrapped up in, and this is more likely to happen in a party situation, where they're oblivious to everyone except the people that they're talking to. So therefore, they're not that cognizant of social cues or the party holders' sentiments. They're wrapped up in their own... And that's it, isn't it? It's like the classic British one that people joke about is slapping your knees, we better get going or better head off. And again, many different variations, but surely, I mean, you'd like to think you're attuned to the people around you, or at least try to be, to sense when things should be wrapping up.
I mean, Martha also suggests put the fire alarm on, but I suppose, you know, she jokes about that, but that would waste the time. If it's connected, you know, of emergency services, we don't want to do that. But I suppose if it's like a little portable one, you know, those horns?
To find an app on your phone or a YouTube video of one playing,
then
you can just play that as opposed to bringing out the fire brigade.
We need to go out the front quick and then just shut the door.
Or fake a phone call from the police with a noise complaint. There's many other ways you could go about it, but yeah, tiredness, starting to clean. I have read a suggestion of someone saying they put their pajamas on, but then I'm thinking that sets a weird tone, doesn't it? It's like you're almost assuming people are going to stay the night.
Well, because they might think, oh, this is a slumber party.
Yes.
Brilliant. We'll just keep going.
Which is why I really favour the idea of when you issue the invitation, having an end time on it. I think that will catch most people that this is something with an end to it. That said, if you've had a party before and you know that there are sort of lingerers, perhaps they're the ones you don't invite next time, or you change their time for finishing half an hour earlier.
Lauren, do you ever, if you're in a big party, I'm not talking about an intimate, you know...
Sounds like Hal Warren, but continue.
A dinner party, but, you know, where there's lots of people, you don't know them. Do you do the, I'm just going to the bathroom, and then do the runner out the back?
Absolutely. But I've also been to parties, actually, where I've got there and there's just too many people. So I've turned right around and just not gone in. And it's not that I'm shy. I'm really actually not shy. Mm. It just feels like I can feel the fatigue just looking at them. It's usually work events, I'll have to admit. But I have been to ones where I didn't even cross the threshold. I just looked in and like, nah, I can't. I physically can't do it. And just turned around and left. And I feel everyone's better for it because my cynical tone is just not going to liven things up.
Is it okay just to leave your guests and go to bed?
Well, I guess. I mean, that'd have to be people you trusted, the whole joke, don't steal the silverware kind of thing. But I guess if you could, I personally couldn't sleep if there were people in my house that weren't people who lived with me. I would feel this as a weird situation. But the other thing is could be, let's move this gathering into the front yard and sort of usher people out, then close the door behind them.
I like that one as well. We're chatting with Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne about how to get dinner party guests to leave when they've been lingering a little too long. If you've got a suggestion, 0427 569 949. Lauren, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned that you wrote a book on Christmas films. It's an appropriate time. Tell us about that.
Well, because I got the PTSD when you were playing that awful, was it Leona Lewis?
Leona Lewis, right.
Yeah, I started to have flashbacks. So about 5 or 6 years ago, I was in a hotel room and a Christmas film came on and I thought, I could write a book about these.
Oh, no.
And those naive moments where you think that something seemed like a good idea, because I hadn't actually watched that many up until that point. And so cue the next 14 to 18 months, I watched over 1,000 Christmas films and we're talking 2 or 3 a day and wrote a book about them. And yeah, now I can't watch any of them. It's not actually, I joke about it, but it's really, as soon as I start hearing the first Christmas songs of the year, I start, oh God, no, I can't do it. And I absolutely could not watch another Christmas film. It's going to take me a while to recover.
Yeah, I'm not big into Christmas films at all. I did like the one that was released this year, A Savage Christmas. That was quite good. But of course...
I haven't seen it, but of course I haven't seen it because I haven't watched any for about 3 or 4 years.
Oh, this one's
worth
doing. It's got two trans actors in it playing trans characters, which is just wonderful. So it's called A Savage Christmas. I think it might still be in cinemas. If not, I'm sure it's streaming somewhere. And we chatted about it with Susie Wrong. That one is worth having a look at because it's not your typical everyone's happy, you know, smiling.
And that's why if asked, the best one that I kind of, if I'm forced, not that I have, but if I was forced to pick good ones, I like the Christmas horror films because I feel like a maniacal sort of serial killer Santa adds something new to the season and to the genre, as opposed to the, and there's channels in the United States, Hallmark is an example, they churn out close to 100 of them a year.
Oh, wow.
That's not a joke. They're mass producing, you know, Single Mum Loses the Spirit of Christmas, finds love with the local town handyman who's building a Christmas gazebo kind of thing. There are so many versions of that story. Oh. And everyone knows what you're getting because they're kind of, you know, very white, very straight rom-coms.
I would have hated writing that book, but I'm glad you wrote it.
I can't believe at the start it seemed like a good idea. This is just the worst decision I'd ever made.
Lauren, a really good message has come in about the getting guests to leave from Jess and Indy. And I really like this. This is a really good point. Your autistic and otherwise neurodivergent friends will thank you if you just set an end time or say, thanks for coming. I love you. Please kindly get out of my house. What a great thing to do. And so simple. Of course.
Yeah. I really do think that end time works well because it sets boundaries for people who are more literal. It tells them that there's a finishing time, which I think lots of people will respect. And it also means people shouldn't be surprised when you start sort of either vacuuming, putting your pajamas on, turning off the lights, or whatever it is that you do, because I did tell you ahead of time things are going to wrap up. And I think, not that I have kids, but I think it's quite common at children's parties that there's a sort of pickup time so that you're not, you know, leaving your children here open-ended, you know, rather you're coming to collect them at, say, 4 o'clock, and that's that.
Lauren, good to chat with you. Thank you so much for contributing every week without fail. You always show up here on Joy Drive, and we love it, and we appreciate your time that you volunteer with us.
Oh, that's very kind. I look forward to it each week. I'll talk to you next year, Warren.
Thank you, Lauren. Have a good festive season.
You too.
That's Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne. Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.